This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Well, the Yankee lineup is out. Now, before we go through the whole thing...
Yeah?
Aaron Judge is not in the lineup. Now, as far as I could tell, there's nothing wrong with him. He was on the postgame show with Meredith. He was in a great mood. I just think that they're going to give periodic rest to all these guys. So Clint Frazier's in left, in right, and Gardner's in left. But the one thing that I always have a problem with when you say, okay, there's a day off tomorrow, the preset day, it's going to be – he had four ribbies last night.
I'm tired of it. Honestly, I'm just tired of it. It's we're barely into the season. I understand he's had his share of injuries, Michael, but he's healthy now. He's hot. It's not a day game after a night game. It's not a stretch of 12 or 13 consecutive games without a day off.
It's baseball, guys.
Come on. Honestly, right? I mean,
no, I'm being serious. It's not Yandle the same.
Tonight is going to play defenseman for the Florida Panthers in his 907th consecutive game. Patrick Marleau is 42 years old. He's played in like 881 consecutive games. Hockey, skating around.
It's not the same as basketball. It's just not – or hockey. It's just not the same.
We will talk more about this, but now we want to welcome in our special guest, WWE superstar Shane McMahon joins us on the show.
There he is.
Shane, how are you?
How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Excellent. Michael, Don, Peter, what's going on?
All good. Now, you have WrestleMania this weekend, so you've been, you've been a part of this almost your whole life. Do you still get nervous? Do you get amped? I mean, what are you thinking going into this weekend?
Well, both. Yeah, we get pumped up. I mean, anytime you, especially being in front of a crowd, which, you know, again, the first time, the WrestleMania is back, we'll be in front of around 25,000 people both nights, Raymond James Stadium, and it's you always get a little nervous, of course, but it's excitement nervous, you know? Get out there and get ready to go, and you got to let it rip and perform.
I was speculating this weekend. I was on with my buddy Sam Roberts on his podcast, and we were talking about the Mania weekend and debating who will be the first person to get to walk out in front of that crowd for the first time in over a year. And, Shane, what do you think about this being the first sound anyone hears in front of a live crowd?
Here comes the money.
Oh, here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Have you thought about that possibility?
I love that. That would be great. I got to I put in the good word. We'll see what happens. But whoever gets to go first, it just being a part of the night is magical, and can't wait to do it.
Well, again, you'd have much more if it wasn't the pandemic. But just to have the 25,000, what does that mean to you to just have that compared to what happened last year?
Well, again, you can performing in front of zero audience is difficult at times, even though, with Thunderdome, we've done a very good job, and kudos to our production crew for doing that. So it makes it much more of a, from a performance standpoint, or a performer standpoint, I should say, you get some interaction. But there's nothing like having the live crowd in there because they're such a part of our show. So very excited. If there was 25 people out there, I'd be pumped, let alone 25,000.
How difficult, Shane, was the pandemic to navigate, even without the fans, just keeping the wrestlers safe and stuff like that? It must have been a bear. And was there ever a point where the company said maybe it's best to just pause and not do anything?
No, that's not really WWE's philosophy. That stems all the way from its chairman, who I happen to know pretty well. And it's, safety is always a paramount concern. And, like everybody else, you got thrown into this and you had to learn, as it went on. And that's really what's happening or what happened. But, we're very proud of the fact that, WWE really didn't miss a beat and was able to overcome and adapt and just waiting for things to get back to normal, which we're starting to get a little bit of that feeling now. And, boy, it is definitely welcome. I know it's welcomed by everybody. Everyone's sick of this COVID stuff.
Shane, I wanted to ask you about coming back. I know it's been a few years now, and you know, you've done really well in wrestling, in the WWE, in your business life. You've always done well. You don't need to do what you do. And when I see you backstage, you're just one of the boys now. Like, you just seem like a performer. That's all you appear to be. Was it as simple as just this is what's in your blood and you missed just being around it? Why ultimately did you come back to this?
Well, I originally came back WrestleMania 32, you know, where we talked about that. And the main reason for me returning in the ring was that I have three sons, and they never, ever got to saw me live. And, you know, seeing me live and, you know, having your dad being they were younger at the time, being a kind of real-life superhero was pretty darn cool. So that was really the impetus of my return, because they would always ask me, hey, you ever going to get back in? Because they see, you know, YouTube and things like that. But they never get to see me live. And I said, well, if the right opportunity comes around, then that's what I'll do. So that happened several years ago and then kind of caught fire. And I just, it is in my blood. And I just stayed around.
WrestleMania over two nights, Shane. Is this something you might consider doing moving forward after the pandemic?
We'll see. I mean, most probably we'll go back to one night. But again, you never know what the future holds.
Now, you're a relatively young man, but for what you're doing, I mean, you're getting up there. Is there any fear when you go into the ring?
Sure. Well, I'm definitely getting up there in age. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I was always able to overcome and just push forward, and I don't feel I've missed a step yet. Once I do, then I'll have to start rethinking, you know, do I have to hang it up, not hang it up? Now, granted, you know, Father Time is undefeated, but I'm making it as hard as possible for him to catch me.
Shane, I've been thinking a lot about – I recently listened to a podcast. Your buddy Bruce Prichard did a podcast that was focused on you a while ago, and they talked about your career and your upbringing, some really funny stories, just – Bruce knowing you as long as he has, what was life like as a young McMahon? I mean, I've talked to Stephanie before, and she's told stories about your parents entertaining new wrestlers at the house who were signing with the company. Maybe they'd have them over for dinner. But just how much a part of your life were these legendary figures when you were a kid?
Well, when I was younger, it was much more prevalent, you know, and it was not strange to have, you know, when in town, Andre the Giant, you know, come over for dinner. It was more of a staple, or Hulk Hogan or what have you. And, you know, back then the company was a little bit different. It was smaller, and got to hang out with a lot of those guys, you know, on a really get to know them basis. So growing up, it was always interesting. There was always somebody coming around the house and what have you. And now the business has grown exponentially. So much harder to do, but still fun when you're able to quote unquote break bread with some people and have a good time.
Now, Shane, I've got to ask the follow-up question. What does Andre the Giant eat? I mean, how do you feed this guy?
Pretty much everything. I mean, he was legendary. I don't know if you remember, I think we talked about this a while ago, that Sports Illustrated article that came out many, many years ago, and it showed, I forget which football player, there was a picture, and there were Andre was holding a beer can, and so was a football player. And Andre's hand completely engulfed a 12-ounce beer can. Like, if he turned his hand backwards, you could not see the beer can at all. So that just gives you perspective of how big Andre was. The craziest thing, and I always remember, is Andre had this great set. His hair, he had such curly hair. It was like a big fro. And he loved it. So, like, it would move around, but his head was so massive. You know, you see like a big Rottweiler and you're like, wow, that dog's like really intimidating. And it's usually because their head is big, but that's the one thing you really notice on Andre is his enormous head.
Was he the one that left the biggest impression when you were a kid?
Well, definitely. I wanted to grow up to be, you know, Andre the Giant's tag team partner and Andre when I was very young. And then that's how my mom got me to eat a lot of my vegetables as well. You know, I said, I want to grow up to be big like Andre, not small like my dad. You know, having no concept of Andre was actually a giant, you know. And so my mom used that for several years to get me to eat my vegetables. She said, you got to be big like Andre, you got to eat. I was okay.
A couple of weeks ago, The Rock has a show on NBC, Young Rock, on Tuesdays. And he dedicated an episode a couple weeks ago to Pat Patterson. And my girlfriend asked me about who Pat Patterson was. And I tried to explain in any sort of normal fashion how important Pat Patterson was. And it was hard to just explain how important this guy was. We lost him somewhat recently. Can you explain for the people just how critical Pat Patterson was to the WWE?
Very. And for those who don't know, let me try to put it in this vernacular. It's tough to articulate what Pat's contributions were. But Pat really, he was a coach to a lot of the guys, a mentor, and he was a writer from the standpoint of he would create the physical story. And that's what, you know, with WWE, that's one of the major things that we do is from a psychology standpoint, you're telling a physical story. And you want to draw the emotion of the crowd and build upon that, no matter what your story is. Everyone has a little bit different story. But Pat was a master, an absolute master of creating some of the best stories out there. So he was invaluable for the growth of WWE and left an indelible impression forever.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, who was you talked Andre being in the house and everything. As a kid growing up, Shane, who was your favorite wrestler? I mean, who did, even now that you've seen all sides of the business, who do you admire the most and say, wow, that guy was just the best?
Well, as a kid, I liked Superstar Billy Graham. He was a villain, you know. He looked completely different. You know, he was a bodybuilder from California. You know, that whole gift of gab. Boy, he could talk the talk, walk the walk, and just had a presence about him. So I was always impressed with Superstar Billy Graham when I was younger. Bruno was obviously in there. I liked him. But Superstar, I don't know, I always tend to like the villains, if you will, the bad guys. Today, mm-hmm. I'd have to give it up to. I mean, there's so many guys out there, and it's tough to just pick one. But picking one off the top of my head, I think the one who has truly, who definitely has my respect, and everyone else that he's ever come in contact with from a business standpoint or a locker room would be The Undertaker.
And you guys are quite close, right?
We are. Yes.
What about in terms of anyone who you never got to face, all time, dead or alive, who do you wish you could have just work one match with?
Oh, that's good. I don't know. I have to give that one some thought. I've what had is the it, privilege of working with some of the greats truly in the business.
How about this to get your thought process going? Is it true that when you first got going, one of the guys who taught you to roll around in the ring at first was Macho Man Randy Savage?
He had a little bit to do with it. I think you got that probably from Bruce's podcast. It was interesting. Yeah, Randy was intense. You have to remember, I grew up with, back in the day, so I was kind of like the mascot. So those guys would kick the crap out of me. So I've had tons of matches with those guys in the locker room. I think I would have, I would have loved to work with Don Morocco.
Wow.
He's one of my favorites. And just some of the characters, Superfly Jimmy. I mean, you just go back and have some more nostalgia with some of the older guys that couldn't do it. If I had to pick one guy, I think that's popping in my head that I never had the opportunity to have a match with and would love to have a story, would be Razor Ramon.
Wow.
Now, yeah. I've had the opportunity. I mean, we know each other off the air, and you're really a very sweet guy, and I've seen you around your kids. Do you have to flip
a
switch?
Let's not go that far.
No, you're a really nice guy. I mean, you really are.
Don't ruin my rep. Don't ruin my rep.
So how does Shane O'Mac come to be? I mean, is it a switch that you flip before you get into the ring?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because, you know, when you're out there, as soon as you step through the ropes, you know, you have to turn on. You have to be in shape. You have to be able to flip that switch and go to another level because, it's you know, you got to watch out for yourself. There's a lot of stuff flying around, a lot of things happening. And there's an immense amount of contact, and it's really hard. You know, it's very difficult on the body. And you got to imagine, you got to be thinking about what you're doing. When you're throwing punches and kicks, and a lot of people who are fans of boxing or MMA, they're like, oh my God, this guy's like, he's looking terrible. I'm like, that guy's exhausted. He's thrown like 700 punches already. You know, you're burning oxygen in your body, and you get fatigued. So it's very similar, you know, of what happens in the WWE ring as it does in, you know, all sports. You get tired, you get lactic acid buildup, you're exhausted, the crowd excites you. You know, your heart starts pumping faster. Your adrenaline hits. There's tons of factors.
Now, Peter, I don't know if I've never even told you this, Peter, but Shane is in great shape, and he actually uses my workout program. I'm kind of his inspiration.
Is that?
I
did not know that, Shane.
Yeah, it's true, right, Shane?
It's true. And I didn't know if you wanted to go into that, but, you know, secretly, you know, Michael's been training me. We've been getting up super early in the morning and going for it.
Yep. And you know what? He's an unbelievable. He's an unbelievable student. You know, he really works hard. I'm very proud of him.
I do love those pointers.
Well, hopefully it's enough to help you with Braun Strowman Saturday on WrestleMania Day One, which you can watch on the WWE Network on Peacock. Kickoff show 7 o'clock. Bell time 8 o'clock. Shane, you've been talking a lot of trash to Braun Strowman. I don't know if you've taken a look at him recently. He is a large sized individual to have to deal with in a wrestling match.
No, he's a big guy, Braun. You know, but going back to what you just said, yeah, it's being streamed live on Peacock TV, peacocktv.com/WWE, $4.99 if you got to sign up, and that's here in the United States. Everywhere else, you can see it on the WWE Network all across the world. But you know, going to Braun Strowman, yes. Obviously, you guys are very familiar with Aaron Judge. So imagine Braun's about an inch or two taller than Aaron. And nearly 100 pounds heavier, and in shape. So this is a big human being. I'll be moving and evading as much as possible. But it is inside a steel cage, so he's kind of pinned me down a little bit. But yeah, a few tricks up my sleeve.
Shane, we wish you good luck. We wish the whole thing goes off without a hitch Saturday and Sunday. And we appreciate you coming on. We always love having you on.
Oh, I'm always having a blast.
Thank you, Shane.
Make sure. And Michael, you got to be, hopefully all your training and those tips that you've given me, we're ready to go and they're going to pay off.
You know, when you win, I wouldn't mind a shout out in the ring, you know, because that, you know, I had something to do with it.
Okay.
Something other than I'm going to get you, Michael K. Something better than that, right?
When Peter won the 24/7, I got shouted out.
I'm going to get you, Michael K.
Right?
That's right.
I like that. I like that. Hey, well, you got to keep the Yankees going here, buddy.
Yeah.
A lot of momentum. I'm throwing momentum. Momentum is on our side. You know,
absolutely.
Stanton's having fun, hitting the grand slam, going 471. Judge, back-to-back nights.
Here we go.
Cole, 13 Ks. And now we just got to get the pitching up.
Absolutely.
You know?
So far, so good.
Oh, Montgomery. Yeah, we just got to look. The Yankees have always been that strong, and then once they catch momentum, you know, it's all over for the rest of everybody else. That's it.
There you go.
Not for the last decade, but I get what you're saying.
Shane, thanks so much.
Momentum. All right, guys, tune in to WrestleMania. Look forward to it.
Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, Shane.
Shane McMahon, WrestleMania this weekend. By the way, Aaron Boone has commented on what's going on with Judge. Brian Hoke of MLB Network said, with the off day tomorrow, Boone said, I don't want to take any chances. That's one. Then he said that Judge was sore yesterday in his side, and they don't want to push through it. And when asked if it's Judge's oblique, Boone said, quote, general soreness in the side.
Hmm.
Wow.
Hey,
remember, he had that rib injury and, you know, missed a lot of time last year with it. And so he looked so good yesterday, hit the ball so well into the bleachers and left field. So We'll give you the entire Yankee lineup when we come back. I'm sure people want to talk about this. It's Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.